Success Match Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
It's good Wednesday. Thanks for being with us. Man, we have a busy, jam-packed show straight ahead. Michael Fabiano will be joining us from the NFL Network right there on the facilities, the Senior Fantasy Analyst. It is Fantasy Football Wednesday, very popular segment that we do every week. And my team blows, and I lose Carson Palmer this week, so I don't know what I'm going to do. So I have Michael with us from the NFL Network. Seth Joyner is going to come in studio today, former Pro Bowl, Super Bowl champion, Linebacker Valley resident. Seth's very involved with youth football in the state. He flies to Philadelphia every weekend to tell people on television the Eagles stink. So, you know, there's a lot to get to with Seth. And then our buddy Charlie Turner Thorne over at Arizona State, they opened their season. I think we're going to Skype with Charlie today and to check in with the ASU women's basketball coach, things going on around the Valley. If you're just joining us on AZ Central, you're finding us for the first time, welcome. We do this every day. Our website is sports360az.com, sports360az.com. We are Arizona-centric, things that we see. We do a lot of video, a lot of blogs, a lot of this, a lot of that, and we partner with AZ Central. It's great. They called us back in 2014 and said, we see what you're doing, or 2013, and can we form a partnership? So very happy with the partnership there. We have a television show that airs on Fox Sports Arizona. It will be on tonight at 6. It will be on following the Suns game tonight against Sacramento at 1 a.m. tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. We now have 4 showings of the TV show. Have I gotten all the promotional stuff out of the way there, Eric?
You're like a 6'8" walking billboard.
Chill here, you know, a little bit of everything.
If you don't do it, no one else will.
Did you see where Mike Leach wants ASU investigated?
I did not, but it doesn't surprise me. I know he was unhappy about the stealing signs. It's funny, Oregon comes out and all these coaches are like clamoring out, yeah, ASU, they do that. Yeah, cheaters.
They lost to a drunk at USC, and they're 4-4, and they may not make a bowl game, and they're all accusing ASU of cheating. They're not cheating very well if, in fact, they are cheating. That's just the way it is. Mike Leach is supposed to be with us on tomorrow's show. And he's one of those guys that we'll bring him on the air, and I swear to you, you'll be sitting there like, this guy is putting me to sleep, and then you hear what he's saying. It's like, this guy's the most interesting human being ever. He's so bizarre is the only way to put it. And he's a great coach. In my opinion, he's a great coach. Anybody that can win at Pullman in Lubbock, Texas, in my mind, are good coaches, right? Is there anywhere else? Where were Mike Leach's stops?
He was an offensive coordinator at Oklahoma back in the day. That's where he got his break.
But that's winning at Norman. A lot of people win at Norman.
And Texas Tech has never been the same since he left. I mean, people were unhappy that he was winning 8 and 9 games. And they've been okay under Cliff, but nothing.
Cliff comes here next year. Tech comes here next year to play ASU.
The big rematch from the Holiday Bowl a couple of years back.
Oh, boy. Wonder if they can meet each other in the bowl season this year.
Arguably Todd Graham's worst coach game at ASU, the Holiday Bowl of 2013?
The guys quit, didn't they?
Yeah, they just didn't care.
I think that's where you saw Will Sutton at a McDonald's.
In Blythe, correct.
In Blythe, driving out to the game.
Yeah.
Or was it after the game?
No, it was before the game. It was like 2 days before the game. He was just strolling through the parking lot at McDonald's.
Sure. Yeah, so Mike Leach wants Arizona State investigated after two PAC schools levy signal-stealing accusations. Quote Mike Leach, I mean, you've got two straight schools with concerns over it, back-to-back, and they have a reputation for it that extends beyond that, Leach said. The conference probably ought to investigate them and see what they're doing, make sure nothing is illegal. I think we have some pictures of the bed sheets. I think we'll put them in the TV show because we just want to know what color bed sheets Mike Leach is going to have on the sidelines this week. Because it's Mike Leach, and he's already said this, don't you think, Eric, there may be some sort of gamesmanship or something humorous because it's Mike Leach?
Of course.
If there was anybody else across the country, right? But he is so far out there. He's one guy that may try to do something. Game's on, is it FS1? I think it's FS1.
It's not on the Pac-12 network, so I will be able to see it. That's all I know.
You can come over to my house. I think the U of A game's on. No, U of A game is. Well, the U of A game, I think, is on Pac-12 network. I could be wrong about that. Anyways, that story's definitely on my mind today. The college football playoff came out last night. We have taken the stance here that it's fun. It's interesting. doesn't mean a darn thing here in early November. It's not like anybody a week from now, a month from now, is going to say, hey, do you remember when those rankings came out for the college football playoff? Nobody's going to remember that. I did not see the show yesterday live. I went back later and checked it out. And when you have teams like Baylor, TCU, and Michigan State that aren't in the top part of the CFP, that aren't in the playoff, and Alabama with a loss that is, I don't know. I'm looking at it saying, what's the credibility here? Now, in fairness, on this show that they're doing every Tuesday for the college football playoff, you can't make judgments here because the Big 12 has backloaded its schedule so much so. Like this week, TCU plays Oklahoma State. We're finally going to get something, a little bit of a logjam. TCU, when they play Baylor in a few weeks, we'll finally get some answers on that front. Alabama plays LSU this week, but the SEC, you know, they have that game every, go look it up, every November or late October where they're playing Alcorn State or McNeese State or Nichols State, and they have these who cares games late in the season. So it's kind of like we need a bye before we get ready for our last two games before the SEC title game. It drives me crazy. It's like, just play people, all right?
I wasn't totally offended by how the rankings came out because I learned my lesson last year. It's the first rankings, and so much can change between now and December. But what did offend me was when Reese Davis started the show, and he came on, and one of the first things he said was, we're seeing these rankings for the first time. We haven't seen them, just like you haven't seen them. Then 5 minutes later, by coincidence, Dabo Sweeney's going to join the show from top-ranked Clemson.
Stunning.
Really?
Hey, somebody get Dabo on the phone in 3 minutes because...
Really, people?
Because we just found out for the first time. it's making sausage. So, you know, there's a lot of college stuff today, but Michigan State not being up there, that doesn't surprise me.
But they are up there. That's the thing. I mean,
they're close enough.
They're
close enough.
You don't want to be at 15, but if you're in the top nine and you've got LSU playing Alabama this week, and like you said, Baylor's going to play TCU eventually if both teams get to that point. I mean, there's going to be carnage, and the big thing is just keep winning games. Because in the end, if you go undefeated and you're in the top eight, guess what? You're probably going to make it in the playoffs.
When I was watching it last night, of course, I'm always looking at this from an Arizona standpoint. I thought for sure when we were in mid-August that we were going to be looking at ASU being involved in these rankings and possibly U of A, possibly. I felt like U of A all season long when I saw their schedule and they don't have a week off that they're done. They were done before the season even started because nobody can make it through. No one. There is not a team. When I get these nitwit ASU fans who's like, oh, you're making excuses for U of A. No, you guys try playing every week without a week off and see what happens. You know? You play Oregon off of a bye on a Thursday, and then you have a couple of extra days, so you play at Washington State. That's smart scheduling by ASU. That's smart scheduling. And I think Rich Rod has dug this hole now where every week the Pac-12 just wants to stick it to them later and later and later to the point where they play a late night game in L.A. this week. Next week they play a late Saturday night game against Utah. And then they have Arizona, the ASU game, and they're trying to win one game to get into the postseason. I don't see it.
And oh, by the way, they haven't had a bye this week either, or this year either.
So. Yeah. I mean, there's no bye, and it's just, you know. So it's not that hard for me to look at U of A and say, I don't think they're going to make a bowl game, and I do believe Rich leaves here in a few weeks. I do believe that. Rich was asked about it yesterday in terms of, yeah, the firing and firing season, and he said it used to be you'd get 3 years or 5 years to turn a program around. Now you get about three. Virginia Tech makes a lot of sense. You know, I got texts yesterday from college football people who I trust. I still maintain that Georgia is going to come after Rich Rod. I maintain that, and I'm standing by that. I'm the only one that's got a flag in the ground on it because Mark Richt is still there. But I'm just telling you that that is going to be a position that when it comes open, not if, when it comes open, Rich has a house down there. He's got people down there. He's got people in the administration at Georgia that are big fans of his, huge fans of his, and long, deep connections. And there's just too many jobs that he can be attached to. You know, in Todd's case, this hiring season, I don't see where it's necessarily going to be him leaving, unless, you know, if the NFL comes after some of these guys that are out there and the trickle-down effect opens some jobs in Texas or possibly Notre Dame. I can't see Todd going to Notre Dame to replace Brian Kelly, but I can certainly see him wanting that job if that job comes open. And I think that job may well come open. I'd call that 50-50 right now. I'm not just sitting here throwing darts up against the wall, making this stuff up. You talk to enough people, you can see where the NFL could be a factor in this for UCLA with Jim Mora, Brian Kelly at Notre Dame. And those two jobs come open. Well, all of a sudden, and the USC job's already there. All of a sudden, you could see guys like David Shaw being pursued much harder by the NFL or even some of these frontline college jobs. Well, now Stanford's open. Who's going to go after him there? If Rich leaves, who's going to go after him on that front? Even though the Cardinals are on a bye, next up, we'll go to the NFL Network. Because every week, we have Michael Fabiano. This segment, if you've not checked out Michael Fabiano on the NFL Network, he is the Hall of Famer. He is atop a group of fantasy guys nationally in first place in his league still. And he's got like, I don't know, 8-10 leagues. Michael Fabiano's next, then Seth Joyner in studio, Charlie Turner Thorne in the last half hour. That's next. I'm Brad Sismat.
For in-depth, unique coverage from the high schools to the pros, follow us on Twitter at Sports360AZ.
Time now for Michael Fabiano, the Hall of Famer. He joins us every week right there at the NFL Network. As I was walking in to do today's show, Eric said, can you believe Fabiano is number one 3 weeks in a row? And I'm like, of course he's number one 3 weeks in a row in his pool. He's Michael stinking Fabiano. So you're still atop the standings, right? You haven't collapsed yet.
I know, right? There's no place to go but down, but we've been holding steady at number one for 3 weeks straight, so.
What do you do with all these injuries? What do you do with all these injuries now?
Pray. Listen, man, I'll tell you something. I have had the worst luck, and a lot of people are out there with the same issue. Let me give you an example. Last week, I lost Arian Foster in six leagues. This week, I lost Le'Veon Bell in four leagues, and I lost Keenan Allen in two other leagues. So now you're really doing two things. Number one, you are scouring the waiver wire, and hopefully you did that last night, and you continue to do it because that's going to be the one place where you can get some help. You're not going to be able to replace guys like that off the waiver wire in most cases unless you're able to get D'Angelo Williams. And another thing you should do is trade. Man, I'm in a league where I've lost once all year. The team was Tom Brady, Le'Veon Bell, Arian Foster, Keenan Allen, DeAndre Hopkins. The team is loaded. Now, I'm forced to trade Tom Brady, and I'm going to try to get as much as I can for him. I have Tyrod Taylor as a backup quarterback, and maybe I play the matchups a quarterback, but if I can get two really good players like a running back and a wide receiver in exchange for Tom Brady, I feel like I have to do it because Brady's not going to be able to win me leagues single-handedly, not with all the losses that I've had, and I'm sure the losses that a lot of people out there have had as well. So, waiver wire and trades.
Where are you at on Carson Palmer? He had a very soft, pillow-soft schedule the first half of the season. Here on the bye week, and now it's Seattle, Cincinnati, another game with Seattle late in the year. Mm-hmm. Is it the best time now to trade Carson Palmer?
You know what? I always have the store open. Let's just put it that way. And if someone wants to make me an offer and I have a quarterback behind Palmer that I'm happy with, absolutely. I absolutely do that. I do have faith in Palmer that he's going to be able to continue to produce. Now, against Seattle, against some of the tougher defenses in the league, maybe you want to temper your expectations a little bit. But I'm always open to trade, always open to trade, and so should you be. Anybody out there, especially if you've had losses, like I've had, like a lot of people have had, if you have to trade your best player to get a couple of good players in return to help starting to help your starting lineup, you should certainly be open to doing that.
The Hall of Famer, Michael Fabiano from the NFL Network. He joins us every week talking fantasy football. Okay, your network, NFL Network, tomorrow night, Cleveland, Cincinnati. Johnny Manziel, going to be the guy, it sounds like. Do you have any interest at all? Is there any help there? Let's say you had Colin Kaepernick or you have a quarterback on a bye and Manziel is sitting there. Any chance at all, Michael?
Any chance at all? Hey, EJ Manuel came back and scored over 20 fantasy points, so anything's possible. But this is a road game, short week against an undefeated team. Now, those don't sound like very good prospects for Manziel. I think there are better options out there. Marcus Mariota might have been dropped because he's been hurt. he's got a really good matchup against New Orleans. I don't have to tell you what they did last week against Eli Manning, which was next to nothing. Jameis Winston, he's been good lately. He really has been. Look at his fantasy points. I'd rather play him. I don't love Derek Carr's matchup particularly this week, but he's an option out there too. So I think he could do better than Manziel. Let's just put it that way. He would be at the bottom half of my QB2s in a 10-team league.
Yeah, because I'm getting questions about Geno Smith. I'm getting questions about Gabbard. Like, mm-hmm. You really need to send me a question about Gabbard.
If you're getting questions about Gabbard, then you got to be in a 20-team league or, I don't know, in a bizarro league where not scoring fantasy points wins you games, because you want the Atlanta defense this week. You don't want any Niners. And I know that people out there are desperate. And trust me, listen, I picked up Kendall Gaskins in a few leagues this week. I picked up Pierre Thomas in a few leagues this week because I've had so many injuries. And maybe the eventual starter in San Francisco at running back is a flex during these difficult bye weeks when you have six teams off. But you can't play Gabbard. You can barely play Anquan Boldin if you can play him at all. I'm not playing Celek. I'm not playing Torrey Smith. And I'm definitely playing all my Falcons this week, that's for sure. That team in San Francisco is a mess.
Vernon Davis' impact with the Broncos.
You know, it doesn't hurt his value. It helps it because he's getting out of San Francisco. But he hasn't scored a touchdown since the beginning of last year. He had two touchdowns against the Cowboys in the opener. Hasn't scored a touchdown since. And I'm talking about 2014. But you know that Gary Kubiak likes to incorporate his tight ends. He does have Owen Daniels there and Virgil Green. They've done next to nothing, let's put it that way. I think Davis is worth a roster spot at least, especially at a position that's a bit thin. And when you talk about having so many teams on a bye, he could even end up being a starter this week. I'm sort of in wait-and-see mode. I really am. There's a lot of mouths to feed in that Denver offense. And to be quite honest with you, Peyton Manning hasn't been the same quarterback. So yeah, we'll see what happens. I'm not starting him this week unless I really need to. It is a good matchup, but I want to see how they utilize him first.
Eli Manning or Tyrod Taylor from the mailbag?
I like Eli this week. I liked him last week, although I benched him in one of my leagues for Cam Newton. But you know what? These things happen. Tampa Bay's defense, you know what? It's not as bad as people think it is, especially on their home field. But this is also a defense that I remember in week one gave up a whole lot of fantasy points to Marcus Mariota. So I am going Eli here.
Malcolm Floyd or Tavon Austin from the mailbag?
Woo! See, now, Stevie Johnson and Malcolm Floyd are going to be two of the hottest pickups off the waiver wire this week. No question about it. I'm going to go with Floyd over Austin because Austin is just so darn inconsistent. Mm-hmm. And he has had maybe two big games this year, and the rest of the games have been sort of eh. I'm going to go with Floyd against the Bears.
Fantasy quarterback sleeper MVP this point of the season. The quarterback that you just did not see in any way, shape, or form here in Week 8. It's mm-hmm. I never saw it coming.
Andy Dalton. I mean, he did have a lousy game last week, but it was his first bad game all year. I mean, this is a guy who's still in the top five in fantasy points among all players, not just quarterbacks. He would be at the top of my list because a lot of people didn't even draft him after last year. He was terrible. And, you know, you could talk about Tyrod Taylor when he's been healthy. You could talk about Blake Bortles has been pretty good in fantasy, but Dalton takes the cake there.
Wide receiver, same question.
The best wide receiver sleeper this year. Well, I could tell you one thing. There's been a lot of busts. Allen Robinson comes to mind. Really, really like what he's done for the Jaguars this year and for fantasy owners as well. This is a guy who showed some flashes last year, and this year has really sort of taken that next step to greatness. Believe it or not, his teammate Allen Hurns is right there in the top 20 among wide receivers. James Jones is up there too, although he slowed down a little bit. Still has, I believe, six touchdowns. But Amari Cooper is another one, but I think we all projected him to be as good as he's been. So, and don't look now, but remember my preseason darling, Brandon Cooks?
Yeah.
Had a pretty good game last week. I mean, listen.
Everybody had a
matchup.
Good game last week against
the
Giants.
I don't love the matchup this week either against Tennessee. Their defense is pretty underrated. But Cooks is back in the top 25 among wide receivers. So, but the biggest sleeper this year, I think, has been Robinson at wide receiver.
Okay, and I'll leave it with running back before I get you out of here. Running back, the sleeper.
I mean, it's Devontae Freeman.
Yeah,
he leads all running backs by over 50 fantasy points, and everyone thought it was going to be Tevin Coleman because he was drafted by the new regime, and it was Tevin Coleman. He got hurt. Freeman said, "Hey, you know what? You ain't getting this job back." And he has run with it, literally. He's been great. D. Danny Woodhead, also, he's a top 10 fantasy running back right now. I don't know if that has more to say about the state of the position or what Danny Woodhead's done, or maybe a little bit of both. It's funny because he's a top 10 guy. He's rushed for 196 yards, but he's got 444 receiving. So he's been very good. I will tell you this. The guy that I think is going to be the fantasy MVP that's not named Tom Brady the rest of the year, and you know I've been talking about him a lot, is Todd Gurley. This guy's the real deal. And I'll tell you, he is going to be the number one overall pick next year in a lot of drafts.
Wow.
A lot of drafts, because you look at the top of that running back board, guys who have been there. Adrian Peterson's going to be 31. Jamal Charles coming off an ACL. Arian Foster coming off an Achilles. Eddie Lacy's been very, very disappointing this year. Le'Veon Bell's coming off a knee, and you're seeing some of these running backs who you drafted to be the guy hurt or not producing.
And I know you were not big on rookies, but he's been one that has come out.
He has been. Yeah. He is. Rookie running backs are the position typically that make the biggest impact. It didn't happen last year, except for Jeremy Hill, really. But this year, I mean, Gurley has gone off. And actually, early in the year, I was thinking he could be this year's Jeremy Hill in that slow start. And then when he comes back, boom, he's even been better than advertised. This guy's he's a monster.
Michael Fabiano from the NFL Network, before we let you go, starts, sits, who do you like this week?
Well, we've got the quarterback position here, and I'm starting Phillip Rivers. We talked about Eli Manning. I'm starting Big Ben. I think he bounces back. And the aforementioned Andy Dalton. Guys, I'm sitting at quarterback. Now, you probably can't afford to sit Andrew Luck unless you are really deep at quarterback, but that Broncos defense is ridiculous. When you hold Aaron Rodgers under 100 passing yards, you got something going there. Blake Bortles is a tough start. So is Ryan Tannehill and Sam Bradford as well against the Cowboys, who are losing games, but their defense has actually played pretty well. Running backs, you start Jeremy Hill on Thursday night. Chris Ivory, D'Angelo Williams, my buddy's back in the number one spot there. I like Ronnie Hillman as well. Players with bad matchups, Latavius Murray, tough to bench. The Steelers have not allowed a rushing touchdown to a running back at home this year.
Wow.
Melvin Gordon, Alfred Morris, and T.J. Yeldon is also a guy that I'm a little worried about against the Jets. Even though they didn't look great on defense last week, they're back at home and they're probably a little angry, so they should bounce back. At wide receiver, a lot of validation this week because the matchups aren't all that great. So Emmanuel Sanders hasn't been good lately. Play him. Amari Cooper, bad last week. Play him this week. Dez Bryant did nothing last week. He has 7 touchdowns in 8 career games against the Eagles. Stevie Johnson's a good play with Keenan Allen out. Eric Decker, Brandon Marshall could be out. If Decker plays and the Jets have either Geno or Fitzpatrick a quarterback, you play him. Wide receivers to bench, Randall Cobb. Massive disappointment.
Yeah.
You probably can't bench Robinson, but, I mean, listen, Revis Island is a very lonely place for wide receivers. T.Y. Hilton, same kind of thing. Tough matchup against the Broncos. Jarvis Landry against Buffalo. The Bills have been really tough on number one wide receivers this year.
Appreciate the time and insight as always, Michael. Thanks.
All right, pal. Take care.
All right, I'm really excited to have Seth Joyner come in studio because I did a show with Seth a long, long, long time ago. Crunch Time with Seth, and the former Pro Bowl, always good guy, Super Bowl champ, he'll take that forever, as a Valley resident. Presently, Seth just bangs away on the Eagles a couple times a week. You fly to Philly, right? They bring you all the way from Phoenix to Philly to say they stink.
Basically. But yeah. They love my analysis because, you know, the big difference between doing TV and radio in Philadelphia is that they want the controversy.
Sure.
Here in Arizona, if you say something negative about the Cardinals, you might get crucified.
Okay, the Cardinals stink. How's that?
No, they don't.
No, I'll give it to you straight like this. The Cardinals are a mystery and an enigma to me in certain ways.
No way. Not right now. Not with a healthy Carson Palmer. They might be.
Defensively.
They might be right now the best team in the NFC.
Get out of here.
Yes.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Are you just saying that because you're...
No.
Are you placating the Arizona audience?
No, because... You know how I am. I shoot from the hip and I tell the truth. When they stunk and I had an opportunity to be on air and voice my opinion, I voiced that opinion with truth. Right now, when I watch them play, when they're on their game defensively, they're a handful for anyone. And they have so many weapons on the offensive side of the ball when they are healthy. And with Chris Johnson running the football the way he's running it, he takes all the pressure off Carson Palmer, play action alive. They're dangerous, man. They are dangerous.
Okay, now, I'll agree with you on dangerous, but I think when Bruce Arians this week went after Calais Campbell mm-hmm. and said that he's been a disappointment in certain parts, that's just a coach prodding and poking. That happens.
Hey, listen, everything about BA I love. You know, when that ball was taken away from that kid, and he was like, somebody in the stands should have taken care of that, man. I like stood up in my on my Twitter feed, and I'm like, yeah. I mean, that's the kind of guy that, you know, that you want to play for. But you know, he's like, and a lot of people in Arizona will take this the wrong way, he's like Buddy in a lot of ways. He's a master motivator. Mm. And he knows that he needs more out of Calais. And he knows that Calais, more than any other player on that football team, can take the criticism. And he understands how to motivate other players through Calais. Because it's like, if he can say that to Calais, then everyone else, you might as well get ready, because the hammer's about to drop. But he knows that there's certain players that he's got to powder their butt, and some of them he got to kick their butt.
As you look at the NFC, your power rankings, where are they right now? They're above your Eagles by a long way.
Oh, no doubt about it. I'm telling you right now, when you look at the NFC, in light of what happened with the Packers the other night in Denver, I put them 1 and 2, and you can just flip them and flop them all you want to.
Nobody in the NFC East is close.
In NFC East? Are you kidding me?
Okay.
The Giants are, I think the Giants are leading NFC East 4-4. That division is going to go down to the wire, and it's going to come down to a tiebreaker, and someone in that division is going to win at 8-8 or 9-7.
Nobody in the South. Because here's my point. I can go through all the divisions. The Cardinals haven't played anybody. And when they've played good teams, okay, Pittsburgh with a third-string quarterback and the Rams come here, they got smacked in the mouth. Cleveland, come on. Detroit, awful. Chicago, miserable. The Saints, beat up.
But isn't that the case with most of the teams in the NFL? You know, when you play against the elite 5 or 6, and it truly is only about 5 or 6 teams that have a snowball's chance of winning the Super Bowl, mm-hmm. Teams are going to struggle. But when you play against, you know, lesser teams, the teams that you're supposed to beat, yeah, you know, you go out and you win those games. You know, that's just the way it is. When you look at the schedule at the beginning of the year, yeah, we should beat this team, we should beat this team, we should beat this team. You put a question mark next to this one. We should beat this team, we should beat this team. We put 2 question marks against the next 2. That's just the nature of the beast. All you can do is play who they put on the schedule, you know.
So now, Seattle and Cincinnati coming up.
Yeah, Seattle and Cincinnati.
So let's find out.
So we will find out.
Yeah.
A lot will have to do. I don't know for sure. Where are they playing them? Are they home?
So Seattle's up there. Cincinnati's here.
Okay. So Seattle, they may struggle a little bit.
Sure.
Seattle's starting to find its footing. The problem with Seattle is they're struggling offensively.
Yeah.
So if they can keep Marshawn Lynch under wraps and do a good job of keeping Russell Wilson in the pocket, they've got a great chance of going up there and winning. And they, before anyone else, proved the fact that you could go up to Seattle and win. They were the first team. I think Seattle was like 1-16, 15-1 rather. And the Cardinals were that one team that went up there and won. They broke the streak. Having Cincinnati at home is an advantage. And I'll tell you why it's an advantage. It was an advantage for Denver to play the Packers at home.
Sure.
Because all of a sudden that silent snap count is a defensive advantage. Okay, so for the Cardinals, you get Cincinnati coming in. They're very good against the run, the Cardinals defense. And now you put them in a predictable situation when they're passing the ball. You've got to go silent count, that little tap on the leg. That's an advantage for the defense. So we should feast on Andy Dalton. And I'm not sold on Cincinnati either. I know they won some games against some good teams, but until I see Andy Dalton in the playoffs, I don't care if they go 17.
Yeah,
I don't care if they go 16-0.
I got you.
Okay?
I got you.
Until I see him in the playoffs, win a playoff game, and do something positive in the playoffs, to me, he's just an average quarterback.
Okay, when you fly back east to see a Philadelphia team that is arguably one of the biggest disappointments, are they just killing Chip Kelly back there? Are they done with Chip?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, my Twitter handle's gone up, you know, 3,000 people in the last since the football season started. But Chip made some moves that really put this football team behind the eight ball. And, you know, I was talking about it on the radio yesterday. It's one of those situations for him that he's going to be at a crossroads with this whole situation. Because mm-hmm. everyone knows you have to have a quarterback in order to win. Well, he hedged all his bets as the GM/head coach. And he trades Nick Foles to the Rams for Sam Bradford. Well, Sam has struggled through, you know, the first 7 games of the season. And, you know, when the season is over, Sam is an unrestricted free agent. So what do you do in the offseason? Because you got a guy whose contract is up. He's not what you thought he would be right now.
Mm-hmm.
But there's, you know, you've got 2 years left on your contract. So you going out to draft a quarterback, that's not going to work either.
Go bring Colin Kaepernick in. That was the
no. I mean, that was a,
that was all over the place.
That was a part of the deal yesterday.
Yeah.
We can get to Colin in a minute, but if he plays well, Bradford, over the next 9 games, now you can sign him. Okay, but if he plays well, that means that every other team that needs a quarterback might be in the market for him. So now you got to franchise him. Once you franchise him, you piss him off.
Mm-hmm.
Once you piss him off, he's going to play in 16 and give you the middle finger and leave.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So now he's right back where he was. The worst thing that could have happened to Chip Kelly was to go 10-6 and make the playoffs and lose to the Saints year one, and they go 10-6 last year and not be able to make the playoffs. Because now he's purged the team for his own players because I know the mentality. Listen, if I'm going to lose my job in 3 years, it's going to be because I built it the way that I wanted to build it. And I can respect that. But he should have done that year one because now you set the expectation at 10-6, and they'll be lucky to make it to 8-8 this year. And then you got this quarterback deal. You know, what are you going to do? Draft a quarterback now? I mean, that doesn't work. So he's kind of – he's at a crossroads right now, and every way that I look at it, it cannot end well for him. It cannot.
Mm. I appreciate you coming in. I want to have you back sometime on the high school front and working with kids, because I know you're doing a lot of that here in the Valley, and you have some very strong opinions about crazy dads, crazy coaches, and the whole high school scene. So I'd love to have you back sometime.
Anytime.
Seth Joyner with us in studio, the former great Cardinal, Pro Bowl linebacker, Super Bowl champ. Back with more after this timeout. So tonight I get to see Spectre. That's my night. We have a screening tonight, and I've been so geeked. This morning I woke up at, like, I don't know, it was like 4:45. I'm one of these early morning guys, and I put my feet on the floor and say thank you for another day, and then it immediately came over me like a rush. I get to see Spectre tonight. I'm a Bond guy. I don't know how many of you are Bond guys or not, and I don't know if it's going to be any good, but and Goody saw it yesterday, and he didn't text me anything, which to his credit, he didn't text me anything because I would have got really upset with him. The previews of this, like, Eric, are you into Bond? Are you going to be seeing Spectre this weekend?
Of course. I don't know about this weekend, but I'll see it.
Yeah. It looks really good.
I know
good.
You're like beyond excited about it.
No, I am. There's very few things on this passion. I'm passionate about what we do here every day. Okay. I'm passionate about my kids. I'm passionate about my family. When Bourne or Bond are on, my world, or Vito Corleone, my world stops with like 3 or 4 characters that are out there. You know, if it's Sandra Bullock in a t-shirt and yoga pants, I'm done. My world stops. Okay? It's not that big of a deal. But even the girl that I sleep with every night is going to the movie with me tonight. She knows I'm so excited. It's one of those things. Guys, you know this.
I like how you always reference her as the woman or girl that you sleep with, not her wife.
Yeah, the woman I've slept with for 27 years. I've got hardware.
Okay.
So, just so you know. But, you know.
Did you see Bridge of Spies, by the way?
I did not.
Very good movie. Saw it over the weekend on my birthday.
I wanted to see your
birthday. My birthday was Sunday. Yeah.
I wished you happy birthday. I even wrote happy birthday to you. I didn't give you anything because you don't need anything. You know what you need? You need kids. That's what you need. You just need some kids. Then you'll be fine.
Some kids?
Some.
Like 7?
Do the thing I do. I have 4 kids. Life is complete. I mean, it's completely
chaotic.
Drive me nuts when I have 4 kids. It's raining. Come pick me up at safety patrol. You know, that was yesterday. So.
What is that?
Safety patrol. You don't know about safety patrol?
How many kids do I have again?
Okay, so safety patrol. Did you do in high school? No, when you were in like 5th, 6th grade, did you wave cars in, open the door, and say, have a nice day?
No.
No, that's what safety patrol is. All my kids have done
safety
patrol.
Like into the parking lot of the school? Or
yeah, they wear the little orange vest. And
is that required
guys
or volunteered?
Know this. You guys have been, you're nodding your heads. You know this. You need to have kids, man. You have not experienced safety patrol yet.
You get paid? Is it like a
no,
minimum
you don't get
wage
paid.
Job?
Well, look, my son's kind of slacked off in some of his classes. Maybe this will help him get an A. I don't know, but it's something that's required. So yesterday in the rain, they wave the cars in. They open the door. Jared Nielsen is viewed. Well, you don't have kids either. Jared Cohen, his girls are too young. I don't have anybody here that can relate to me.
It's going to be great when Cole's sick in 3 days, and you're like, man, how did you get sick? Oh, I don't know.
Come on.
Sat out in the rain
sounds
and waved
so
cars.
Whiny. You're going to be one of those dads that when it's raining, you're going to say, son, daughter, you can't go play in the rain. No, go play in the rain. Go splash in puddles. I don't care if you get sick. It's normal.
You know what happens when kids get sick?
We get sick. Well, you don't know this yet. You've heard that.
When I come into Skyview and I'm sick, I lick all door handles.
It's great when your kids get the stomach flu and you come in here and you have the stomach flu.
I had that last week.
Awesome and amazing.
Fun.
You don't have kids. And you just got to suck it up and toughen it out.
No, but I have a wife and she got sick and then I got sick.
Oh, God.
Well, such is life.
Well, you're halfway there. You have dogs, though. You have dogs. Charlie Turner Thorne was supposed to join us, and she's in a meeting, so we're not going to have Charlie today, but we'll have her on again.
Tomorrow.
She's got stuff coming up. Mike Leach is going to be with us tomorrow, from what I hear, and from what Eric's telling me. And Jake Plummer tomorrow, too, on the show, which will be a lot of fun. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Our content on our website, sports360AZ.com. It's there for you 24/7, 365. We do videos. We do blogs. We do things. Our little band of merry men. We just do stuff that we see around the state of Arizona. It doesn't matter if it's high school, college, or pro, and it's not just football. We have a football-only show that does air on Fox Sports Arizona tonight at 6, 10, 1, and 7 a.m. tomorrow morning. It's Brad Sussmat, Football AZ, brought to you by your Arizona Ford dealers. It's great. So check out the TV show and our website, too. Have a good day.